All right. We want to welcome a very nice guest to the show this morning. He's an author, and we like to do this on Sunday mornings with so many holidays coming up, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and just generally wanting to get something special for somebody in your life. And the book is called The Bilko Athletic Club, and it's B-I-L-K-O. And then when I think of Bilko, I think of Sergeant Ernie Bilko. Well, believe it or not, the character of Ernie Bilko was named after the great legendary minor league slugger Steve Bilko. And I remember him growing up. He had cups of coffee in the major leagues and finally came up with the Angels late in his career. But he was part of a team, the 1955-56 Los Angeles Angels. Now, this is before Giants Dodgers get out to the West Coast. Pacific Coast League baseball is flourishing, an open classification. They wanted to be a major league themselves. And in Los Angeles, this amazing hitter, Steve Bilko, just captured the town. The book is about that ball club and about Steve Bilko, the Bilko Athletic Club. The author is Galen White. He's done a tremendous amount of writing, speech writing, sports writing, script writing, and now he's come up with the Bilko Athletic Club. Galen, very nice to have you with us this morning.
Happy Easter, Marty. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, happy Easter to you. And as I said, now for me, I remember, and we have so many listeners here who talk about the old PCL, and you grabbed a portion of that history in this book. Tell us about the book, why you went this way, and about Steve Bilko. And fans, if you're in front of your computers, Google it, B-I-L-K-O. You'll learn a lot about him as Galen talks. So go ahead.
You were just talking about those days are gone in terms of baseball. And unfortunately, the Coast League days are gone, but the memories of those days continue. And I've had those memories throughout my life. I was 9 years old when Bilko arrived in town in 1955. To me, a nine-year-old, he was Babe Ruth. I thought he was going to be the next Babe Ruth. And that was one of the reasons that I pursued finding out what happened to Steve Bilko when he made it to the majors. Of course, he had already been in the majors prior to playing in the Coast League. But he returned to the majors, played a couple years with the Expansion Angels, 61 and 62. He hit 313 home runs in the minors. 148 of them were in the three seasons he played in L.A. He was the King Kong of the Coast League. In the majors, he played in parts of 10 different seasons, hit 76 home runs in 600 games. So his the difference between what he did in the minors and the majors always intrigued me, and that led me to interview him in 1976. He died 18 months later. He was 49 years old when he died. And eventually that led to this book, The Bilko Athletic Club. The 56 Angels were kind of the Bronx Bombers of the West, you might say. They won the Coast League in 1956 by 16 games. They had six players who hit 20 or more home runs. Bilko himself won the Triple Crown, just as Mickey Mantle was doing in the American League. In fact, there was one Los Angeles sports writer who suggested that in 1956, which was a presidential year, that a vote that Mantle and Bilko ought to run for president and vice president. And he said a vote against Mantle and Bilko is a vote against home, mother, and bottled beer.
I love it. And Bilko was a star in Los Angeles, a star's town with all Hollywood and all that. And you know, I did not know. And look, the Phil Silver Show, Ernie Bilko, and you know, I could still quote most of the lines in the show of Harry Speak Up and things like that and Doberman. But I didn't realize that Bilko was named after Steve Bilko in the show. Is that true?
That's true. Phil Silvers, as a matter of fact, said, I could just as well have been Corporal Hodges or Private First Class Musial. I gave it to a guy who needed it. Ah. And, of course, he was speaking about Bilko. Bob Sheffing, Bilko's manager in 1956, as well as part of 1955, said in 56 that more people in L.A. know Bilko than Marilyn Monroe. So Bilko was a giant figure, not only in L.A., but up and down the West Coast. His appearances in San Francisco were chronicled much like as if a Mickey Mantle or Henry Aaron were coming to town. He was a star everywhere he went. In fact, on one visit to San Francisco, a veteran San Francisco Seals pitcher asked the question why more pitchers in the league were not knocking Bilko down. And Bilko said in response to this comment, the guy who tries to stick the ball in my ear had better do a pretty good job of doing it because I might get up.
Well, Willie Mays used to say, you can try to hit me, but I won't be there when the ball gets there.
That's right.
He said that quite often. Galen White is with us. I love the book. I really have enjoyed reading it. The Bilko Athletic Club, it takes you back to the Pacific Coast League of the mid-50s, a great time for baseball. The other part that I learned about, and I have to talk to Willie Mays and Orlando Cepeda and Willie McCovey about, Buzz Clarkson. An African-American player, legendary in the winter leagues in Mexico. He was part of this team. Tell us about Buzz Clarkson.
Well, Buzz Clarkson joined the Angels in 55 along with Bilko. So pitcher Bilko, who weighed anywhere from 230 to 270 pounds at first base, and Buzz Clarkson, who weighed over 200 pounds, was about 5'11" at third base. They were great hitters, and they were just imposing figures. And so when Clarkson joined the Clarkson and Bilko joined the Angels in 55, to my 9-year-old eyes, Clarkson was Josh Gibson, and Bilko was Babe Ruth. Clarkson, everybody talks about what it sounded like when Clarkson's bat hit the ball. They all said it had a different sound. Gene Mock once asked Buzz, he says, "I know how you hit the ball, but how do you hit it so hard?" He could hit a ball as hard as anyone, and he was an outstanding player in 55. He was injured during that season and only played part of the 56 season before being sent to the lower minors. But he was a great player and one of the most memorable players you'll ever see at bat because he could hit the ball so hard.
Those days in the PCL, how many games were played in those days?
Well, it varied. In 1956, they played 168 games, but earlier in the 50s, they played well over 200. What made the Coast League unique was not only did they play so many games at one time, but up until 56, homestands, let's say the Seals, they would go into L.A., and they would play seven games against the Angels. Then they'd stay in the same hotel and just play seven more against the Hollywood Stars. So the players love that. Even when they were on the road, there was a sense of home at whatever motel or hotel they were staying at. Also, teams in the Coast League flew by air long before teams back east. So it was both heaven and a haven to many of the players. Bob Speak, who played with the San Francisco Giants in 1958, Bob was the left fielder for the 56 Angels. And he commented on how it was a haven to so many players who really found a home on the West Coast. They liked the weather better. They liked the travel better. And the cities, the finest restaurants and a lot more things to do than back east.
Well, the great Dino Ristelli from San Francisco, I had a chance to interview him at the Double Play restaurant years ago. And he told me, and of course he had came up, I think, with the Pirates. I think that was his team, or the Braves, I forget. But he said, "I didn't want to play in the big leagues because I didn't make enough money to have two homes, and it was a lot more lucrative to stay in the PCL."
Well, Bilko took a pay cut when he went back to the majors in 1958 with Cincinnati. He made $15,000 a year as a salary in L.A. in 56, and he made another $15,000 to $20,000 in endorsements. In 56, Mickey Mantle's Triple Crown year, his salary was $35,000. Mm. So most players in the majors during that time made the major league minimum, and that was in 56, $7,500. You were talking about Dino Ristelli. I talked to Dino, of course, as part of my research for this book, and he talked about Lefty O'Doul. Of course, Lefty was a Coast League legend. He managed the Seals for 17 years, and he managed four other PCL teams for six. I always loved a quote from Lefty. He said, "My grandfather used to tell me that if the Pilgrims had landed on the West Coast instead of in Massachusetts, they would have never left California, and the East never would have been populated."
Very good. Boy, Lefty will do it, boy. I could talk a lot about him. Hey, how has the book been received, The Bilko Athletic Club, Galen? How's it going?
It's been out about a month. It's done extremely well. You can find it on Amazon.com as well as some of the other some bookstores like Tower and Powell Books. You can get that online, Books a Million. It's doing well. I think as the word gets out about the book, people will enjoy it. One thing I'd like to point out is that while the book is about Bilko and the 56 Angels, there's a lot in there on the Coast League. In fact, one of the players on the 56 Angels was Marino Peretti, who was born in Italy but grew up in San Francisco. And the third Wednesday of every month in the Bay Area, there is a group the Friends of Marino Peretti, and they meet in Marino's honor. To this day, they meet. They've been doing so since 1981. And if I could, I'd just like to tell one Marino Peretti story. There's a whole bunch of them about him, but my favorite one, he was quite a competitor. And Marino did not like to be taken out of a ball game. And he was pitching for Sacramento at the time, and he was had given up a couple home runs. And the manager, Tony Freitas of Sacramento, went to take him out of the game. Tony tried to take the ball away from Marino, but Marino got mad, and he threw it right over the top of the press box. He stomped off the field, went back to the dugout. Tony returned to the dugout, and he said to Marino, "If you'd thrown the ball during the game like that, you'd still be out there pitching."
Very good. Hey, I've been invited to that luncheon a number of times. I haven't made it yet. Maybe I'll probably try to put it together and get over there. I appreciate it. Hey, there is a website, and you what's on the website?
Well, it's www.bilkoathleticclub.com, and there the blog posts, there's about 30-some blog posts on there, and different stories related to the book, but there are some stories that you won't find in the book. We just had so much material, we couldn't get it all in the book, so just follow the website. I would love for readers to get a copy of the book. And by the way, I'm going to be at the Friends of Marino Peretti luncheon in May, and I have one of the green jackets that they give the honorees. I'm proud to have that. It's a great group of guys, and I think it speaks to the tradition of baseball in San Francisco. And no city, in my opinion, has a greater tradition of baseball than San Francisco.
Ah, beautiful. Galen, thanks so much. I'm going to try to make one of those luncheons as well. The Bilko Athletic Club, Galen H. White. Galen, have a good afternoon, and it's a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. Boy, Raph, good one, huh? You know, with all the holidays coming up and just a good historical perspective of baseball, which we love, but of course of a time on the West Coast when baseball really was king, and it was the Pacific Coast League, and I like the way he explained it. And then, of course, Dodgers and Giants come out in 1958, and the Coast League kind of withered away after that. But Steve Bilko, man, I remember him quite well. Big guy. When Bruce Jenkins is on with us in a little while, I'm sure he'll have some recollections of Steve Bilko.